Chapter 9. The crowd started leaving as soon as the game ended. Many people had big, silly grins on their faces, but not me. I just wanted to get out of there. I climbed to the bottom of the bleachers and waited for the people to scatter. "Martin, I can't believe you're here," said a cheerful, familiar voice. I turned to see Vicky standing next to me. I hadn't seen her since Mr. Dooling dragged me through the hallway to Miss Spencer's office. I felt a little embarrassed. Not far away were Teresa and another girl I didn't know. Teresa looked at me as if I had just mugged her mother. "Hi, Vicky," I said, trying to hide my surprise. "Don't tell me you're a football fan. What about all the winner-loser stuff?" I teased. She smiled, and I swear my whole day got better. There was just something about her eyes and the way the long waves of her hair curled against her neck and face. "Don't worry, Martin. Believe me, there are many places I'd rather be. But Teresa likes the guy on the team, and she made me promise to sit with her while she watched him. What about you?" I didn't want her to know the truth, but I couldn't bring myself to lie to her. "I had a Saturday detention with Mr. Mitchell. I just got out," I said, expecting her to walk away. I could see Teresa watching us through the crowd. She looked more annoyed than ever, glaring at Vicky as if no one else could see her face. "Vicky, I think Teresa wants you or something," I said. "She's so rude sometimes," Vicky snapped, her eyes flashing with anger. "I'll be right back." I watched as the girls talked and Teresa rolled her eyes. That girl hated me. Some people are just like that. Vicky came back a minute later, while Teresa walked away with her friend. "Sorry about that." "Look, if you need to go, it's cool." "No, Martin, I want to talk to you," she said. She was so serious, I almost turned around to make sure she was talking to me. I'd never met a girl like her back home. "I heard about what happened in the gym with you and Steve. I just want you to know that what he did was wrong." The girl stunned me. She seemed angry for me, but not at me, like she was on my side. I wasn't sure what to say. "Yeah, well, someone needs to tell Miss Spencer that." "Don't worry, I will on Monday," she said. "Girl, you're crazy," I said, shaking my head at her. She was a fighter. I could see that, but I didn't understand why she was talking to me. "You're not the first person to say that," she said proudly. "Well, I don't know if I should be talking to you then. My mother always told me to watch out for the crazy girls." "Yeah, well, my mother always tells me to watch out for the dangerous boys." "Oh, so I'm dangerous now?" I said, acting hurt. "I don't think so, but that's not what Teresa says," she replied with a grin that convinced me that she was smarter than any of my other friends, even Frankie. She was quiet for several seconds, and we passed the crowd from Blueford and made our way into the neighborhood. "You want to take a walk to the park?" My heart skipped a beat. I couldn't believe she wanted to spend time with me. "Now?" I said. "Or we could stay here and wait for Steve," she replied. "Let's do that," I said, pretending to be serious. "Come on." She gave me a playful punch in the stomach as we started walking. I don't know how it happened, but Vicky and I spent the whole afternoon together. It was like Beauty and the Beast or something. Here was Vicky, this smart girl, an A student, with great olive skin, the whitest smile, black spiraled hair stretching down her back, and eyes that seemed to peer right into your soul. And then there's me, Martin Luna. You know my deal. For a while, we just talked about Blueford. She asked me a lot of questions about school and told me things about some of the people in our English class. At one point, I mentioned Mr. Mitchell, and she turned to me. "Mr. Mitchell is the best, Martin," she said. "He can be tough, but he's fair, and he cares about what happens to people around here. He even grew up in the neighborhood." I started to tell her that I thought he was too nosy, and she stopped me. "He asks a lot of questions because he cares. I heard that last year, he showed up at some kid's house to warn the parents that their son was using drugs. He's like that, always trying to help." I wasn't about to tell her that I nearly lost it during detention and almost hit him. "His ties are bad," I said, trying to change the subject. "Yeah, he needs help with his clothes. My mom says he needs a woman in his life. My dad just laughs about it." Of course, she had both her parents at home. We left the park and went to Nico's for pizza. The place was crowded with people from Blueford. Two tables away, Cooper and that girl Tara were sitting with a few other students. One of them was Darcy from my English class. "All Steve has to do is start talking and everyone else runs away," I heard Cooper say out loud between fits of laughter. "That's why no one tackles him. I'm serious." "Yeah, but you're lucky he's on your team, Coop," Tara said. I nodded to him as I got a slice of my favorite pizza, extra cheese and pepperoni, and a plain slice for Vicky. As we ate, she told me that Teresa used to like a guy who delivered pizza from Nico's. "That girl hates me," I said. "No, she doesn't hate you. She just doesn't trust you," Vicky said, raising her eyebrows. I still couldn't figure her out. I had no idea why she looked at me so seriously. "What about you?" I just had to ask. "I'm not sure yet," she said. It was like she took a spoon, shoved it into my chest, and started stirring me like I was a pitcher of iced tea. I was so confused. I wanted to be the kind of guy she could trust, someone that deserved her. But I didn't know what that was. Everything I knew about girls I learned from Frankie. Back home, he always had girls chasing him. They were pretty, but they always seemed like they were trying to get away from something. One had a kid already. Might even have been Frankie's, though he would never say. Vicky was totally different from all that. I knew she wouldn't like Frankie, so I couldn't understand why she was talking to me. "Vicky, you and me, we're different from each other," I said, not knowing where I was going but unable to stop. "Really different." "So," she said, "what's that mean?" "I don't know. It just seems like you shouldn't be here with me." It might have been the most honest thing I said since Weddle died. I couldn't even look at her. It hurt. She touched my hand in just for a second before taking it back. "Martin, when I first saw you, I was like, oh no, who's this boy acting so hard? But when you wrote about your brother, you seemed so sad. That's when I decided I wanted to talk to you." "Oh, so you feel sorry for me?" That explained it. I was a charity project for her. "No, it's not like that," she said, staring me down. "It's just, I don't know. It's like you're more real than the guys around here." "What?" "Look at Steve. He seems like he has it all together. He's popular, he's got a great body, and he plays football. But then when you talk to him, he's a complete jerk." "You're the opposite. From the outside, you seem like you'd be mean. But you're not. Not at all." I didn't know what to say. I mean, I know she was trying to be nice, and I was happy she was talking to me, but I just had to flag what she said. "What's wrong with my body?" "Nothing," she said, and then blushed. "No, that's not the point." She shook her head and pulled her hair back behind her ear. "Steve and I went out for 3 months, and he never said anything nice to me about my grandmother, even when I told him about her. You knew me for 2 minutes, and you said something that was so nice." There was this little crease in her forehead as she spoke, a perfect fold that was there because she was concentrating to get the right words out. I wanted to touch her face, to thank her somehow. But I couldn't move. I could barely speak. What was happening to me? Frankie would have slapped me if he'd seen me. "You're losing it, Holmes," he'd say. "No girl is as important as us, your family." But for the first time, I almost didn't care. On Sunday, I went to church with my mother. Don't ask me why. My mother looked at me like I had a fever when she saw me in my dress shirt waiting for her in the living room. "You're coming to Mass with me?" she asked. She didn't even blink once as she spoke to me. "Yeah, why?" I said. I didn't want to make a big deal about it. "Nothing, mijo," she said, smiling slightly and leading me to the car. "Good to see you again, Martin," one older woman said, patting my back as soon as I walked into the church. "You look so handsome," said another. Their wide eyes and long stares told me that they were some of the people my mother called when she needed to talk about me. I hadn't been to church since Weddle's funeral, but the sweet, smoky scent of incense brought me right back to the moment Weddle was in his coffin in front of the altar. I was so angry then. The memory is as sharp as a switchblade. While the priest spoke against gang violence, I was planning it. But now the whole thing was muddy and confusing. Just thinking about it made my head pound and my heart race, and I could barely follow the priest's talk on forgiveness. Afterwards, we stopped at Widow's grave. The rose I had left was still there, the petals already beginning to wilt and dry. "I miss him, mijo," said my mom as we stood there together, her tears falling silently to the ground in front of the headstone. "Me too, ma," I said, putting my arm on her shoulder. She leaned into me and began to sob, and I held her weight. It felt like she would collapse without me. "See me after class." That's the only comment Mr. Mitchell wrote on my English assignment. It was Monday morning, and after everything, I was trying my best to take Bluford seriously. I got to school on time, and even though I wanted to skip English, I dragged myself into Mr. Mitchell's class and tried to pretend that the Saturday detention incident never happened. Vicky was acting strange all of a sudden, and that was bothering me too. When she came to class, she was almost yelling at Teresa. "I had to tell her," Vicky said, her voice louder than usual. "You should have stayed out of it, Vic," Teresa answered, and then spotted me. Her mouth snapped shut like the mousetraps we used to use in our kitchen. Before I could say anything, Mr. Mitchell walked in, and Vicky gave me this weak smile which told me something was wrong. The only good thing was that Steve was absent for the first half of class, so I didn't have to hear him brag about Saturday. That would have set me off. When he finally came in, he had this scowl on his face like he was ready to hit somebody. I didn't care. Everyone watched him, including Mr. Mitchell, but no one said anything. I wanted to talk to Vicky at the end of class, but Mr. Mitchell's note meant I had to see him instead. I knew he was going to tell me all the things I did wrong on the assignment. At least at Zamora, I could get a C for not even trying. Here I tried my best, and I was going to fail. "You said I had to see you?" I said as soon as the bell rang, bracing myself for bad news. "Yes, Martin. First, I want to say I'm sorry about Saturday. I really put you in a corner, and I didn't mean to do that. Sometimes the best we can do is to walk away from a situation that isn't good, and I'm glad you did that and not something else." The man was crazy. I'm convinced of it. Teachers don't apologize. Not any that I know. "Second, your essay was outstanding and powerful. It took a lot of courage to write it, and I'm giving it an A. Good job. You may want to consider writing for the school paper, the Bluford Bugler. Let me know if this interests you." I was speechless. Me? An A? Only Weddle could make that happen. "Finally, I'm just going to repeat what I said on Saturday, Martin. You're talented, and you could have a bright future ahead of you. Don't throw it away. When you feel things getting out of hand, when you know you're getting over your head, talk to me. I'm here for you. I mean that." I don't know what planet Mr. Mitchell came from, but maybe it wasn't such a bad place. I feel a little embarrassed admitting this, but I was like a little kid on Christmas Day. It was the first time I can remember a teacher saying something good about me. Martin Luna. For the rest of the day, nothing could touch me. Not the C I got on a biology quiz, not Mr. Doolings watching my every move in the gym, not Steve staring at me in the locker room. Only Vicky kept it from being a perfect day. I had to find her. "Is everything okay?" I asked, catching her as she walked out. "I don't know, Martin," she said tensely. "You should go home." We descended the stairs together and headed down the street. "Why? You sick of me already?" "No. It's just that I told Miss Spencer what happened with you. Someone else did too. Now Steve and some other guys on the football team are in trouble. Teresa said you might be too." "Why? What's Miss Spencer gonna do to me?" "It's not Miss Spencer I'm worried about. It's you. Steve and his friends are up to something." I almost laughed. "Please, I ain't scared of them. They ain't gonna touch me." "I don't know, Martin," she said, looking over her shoulder. "Oh, no." A small black sedan passed us slowly on the other side of the street. There were three guys in the back seat, two in the front. I could see them turning their heads and saying something. One of them pointed at me. I had this sinking feeling, like the concrete beneath my feet had just gotten soft and sticky, like the time just before Weddle got shot. The car did a U-turn in the middle of the street and looped back towards us. Steve was in the front seat.